Today on Annenberg Radio News.
This is a conference, Western Conference Finals or bust year for them.
LA Times columnist Bill Plaschke has high hopes for one of the basketball teams that call the Staples Center home. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Monday, November 3rd, 2014. I'm Charlie McGovern. Tomorrow, Californians will vote on Prop 47, which would reduce the severity of some crimes that are now felonies to misdemeanors. This morning, supporters of the proposition rallied outside the Twin Towers Correctional Facility in downtown L.A. Kylie Morgan has the story.
L.A. resident Krista Fonseca spoke at the rally about her family's suffering after her father's incarceration.
When I was 5 years old, my father served many years for a felony sentence because he stole a toolbox and had possession of pills. My life was shattered. I was never able to know my father until I was 16 years old. As he sat in prison serving this sentence, my family was pushed into poverty.
Fonseca says she wants this proposition to help other families avoid a similar fate. Prop 47 will reduce felony charges to misdemeanors for certain minor drug possession and property crimes. According to supporters, this measure could save the criminal justice system millions of dollars. The money saved from having fewer inmates in prison could be spent on programs for mental health, substance abuse, crime victims, and K-12 schools. Recent polling by USC Dornsife and the LA Times suggests Prop 47 has the majority of the likely vote. The supporters have also raised thousands of dollars more for the campaign than opponents. However, John Lovell with the California Police Chiefs Association says they are against Prop 47 because they worry dangerous felons will be let out with misdemeanor charges, and because there's no requirement for released felons to get drug or mental health treatment.
One of the naive assumptions that the proponents make is that these criminals want to voluntarily flock to treatment programs.
Under Prop 47, registered sex offenders and convicts with previous rape or murder convictions can still be charged with felonies. Prop 47 supporters say their work doesn't end tomorrow, and if California votes yes, they will work to rehabilitate convicts who are released. Kylie Morgan, Annenberg Radio News.
While growing out your mustache is well recognized with November, West Hollywood has marked the autumn month as a time to spread awareness about the transgender community. Jessica Oliveira has the story.
Today, a few members of the LGBT community gathered at Matthew Shepard Triangle in the heart of West Hollywood. They raised the colorful trans flag and laid a wreath at the transgender memorial, honoring those who have died as a result of a hate crime.
West Hollywood is a very large bubble. It's so different when you step out of West Hollywood.
Bonnie Smith is a member of West Hollywood's Transgender Advisory Board.
The city council here is so responsive to the needs.
West Hollywood created the first ever Transgender Advisory Board 4 years ago. According to the Los Angeles County Commission, the number of incidents against transgender people jumped by nearly 46% last year. And just last month, a transgender woman was fatally shot in East Hollywood. While police say the death was a robbery gone wrong, the LGBT community believes it to be a hate crime.
It's still unfortunate that so many trans people are murdered every year and that we have to have a day of remembrance. Hopefully we'll get to the point where that's no longer necessary. We can just celebrate our diversity.
Drian Hora says she, like many transgenders, was a target of violence for being transgender. Hora hopes that educating non-transgenders this month will defuse any retaliation and encourage the community to speak up in a non-violent way.
Growing up, I didn't think I would ever be able to make the world a safer place for me. So that's why being here is so important, to change the world for people like myself and for youth.
The advisory board says the transgender community represents 1% of West Hollywood residents. Jay Johnson is one of those residents.
I am trans. I am a member of the community. I'm passionate about our community, and I can't think of one other city that celebrates the lives of all people, including trans people, other than the city of West Hollywood.
The Transgender Advisory Board has organized a variety of events for November, from a transgender job fair to a well-being conference and a trans art exhibition. For more information on Transgender Awareness Month or to get involved, visit weho.org. Jessica Oliveira, Annenberg Radio News.
Three teenagers were killed by a hit-and-run driver this weekend in Orange County, and today police believe they have the man responsible in custody. Joining me in studio is Drennan Kempton to bring us up to speed on what police have found. Drennan, what do you got for us?
Hi. Yeah, today I went down to the press conference where the Santa Ana police chief announced that they had arrested Joaquin Bell in connection with the hit and run that killed the three children on Halloween. They arrested him actually yesterday at a Motel 6 in Stanton.
Now, there have been some reports that court records show that a man with his same name recently had his license suspended. Did they say anything about that?
They didn't say anything about that at the time, but I have heard, you know, I've heard that that's a possibility. Yeah.
All right. Well, Drennan, thanks for the update, and thanks for the information.
Thank you.
Real estate money has been pouring into downtown Los Angeles from China. Megan Coyle finds out why.
Downtown LA will add a few more towers to its skyline in the next couple of years, thanks to multi-million dollar investments from Chinese real estate companies. Three major development projects are in the works to build high-rises with retail, residential, and hotel units in downtown. Rob McRitchie, the vice president of capital marketing at real estate firm Jones Lang LaSalle, believes the Chinese are investing in downtown LA because of the revitalization of the area.
Downtown, as you know, has seen its urban renaissance take shape over the last 20 years, and it's become arguably the hottest market in the country.
He says this downtown renaissance is similar to nationwide trends, as more young adults move into the city to be closer to work, shops, and restaurants. Currently, there are relatively few condos on the market for young adults who want to live in downtown LA. Between the three Chinese projects, a projected 18,000 units are in the works. The Beijing-based Oceanwide Real Estate Group spent $500 million to develop a 4.6-acre plot of land at Figueroa Central. The group plans to build three towers with more than 40 stories of condos, hotel rooms, and retail space. The Greenland Group from Shanghai plans to build five high-rise towers as part of its mixed-use Metropolis project, just north of LA Live. Shenzhen Hazens bought the Lux City Center Hotel near Fig Central for $105 million in August. Building in downtown LA is attractive to developers because of the ease of entry compared to other LA County communities.
There's a lot of neighborhood groups and associations that fight projects that really drag out the entitlement process and cost the developer a lot of time and money.
However, once these downtown projects are completed, Chinese investors will likely move on to other markets in West LA, Hollywood, and even north in the Bay Area.
We're not going to see any more large-scale development of Chinese capital downtown LA. There's no projects that fit their mold.
The new high-rises of downtown LA are expected to be several years out. The only project with a construction timeline is expected to finish in 2017. Megan Coyle, Annenberg Radio News.
And if you're over 21 in Los Angeles and have a roommate, you're not alone. Rania Niftas tells us why.
Los Angeles is number one in the country when it comes to adults living with roommates, according to popular real estate website Zillow. In 2012, almost half of the adults in LA lived in double-up households, otherwise known as shared housing. The number of residents who need roommates has steadily gone up over the last 12 years. Los Angeles realtor Kelly Tapp says that it's a combination of factors that led to this trend.
Most of it is just the fact that a lot of younger people aren't making the money that they hoped they would be making, and the cost of living is just so high, so it's just so much cheaper to have roommates.
Los Angeles is well known for its high housing prices. In fact, Zillow reports Los Angeles is the least affordable housing market in the country.
Everybody that's anybody wants to be here. So that just perpetuates the cycle and makes everything that much more expensive.
Tapp says the future of living costs doesn't look great either, since an improving economy leads to increased prices for homes.
Because the economy is a little bit better, you're getting a lot of bidding wars. The prices are actually going a little bit higher.
As a result, LA's popularity and relentless housing costs will likely cause residents to double up on housing for a while. Rania Niftos, Annenberg Radio News.
Brittany Maynard, an advocate for physician-assisted suicide, chose to drink a lethal cocktail this weekend and passed away at the age of 29. An advocate for Oregon's Death with Dignity Act, Maynard decided to end her life before the final excruciating stages of her terminal brain cancer took their full effect. Dr. Courtney Campbell, a professor of religion and culture at Oregon State University, said Maynard's controversial decision received both opposition and support from Oregonians.
I do know that there was some full-page ads that had been run in the state newspapers here, encouraging her both to go ahead on November 1st, as well as to say, no, I'll pay you $50,000 if I can treat you.
Maynard drank a combination of water, sedatives, and a respiratory system suppressant, which facilitated a peaceful passing surrounded by her loved ones. It was a choppy day on Wall Street, with the S&P 500 and Dow ending slightly in the red, while the NASDAQ edged up. Telecommunications giant Sprint announced today that they'll be slashing 2,000 jobs after missing analyst estimates for the quarter. Things may be looking up for investors, though, with automakers reporting their strongest October sales in more than a decade. Forecasters see it as a positive sign consumer spending will increase as the holidays approach. And we finally got some rain over Halloween weekend, but that might be it for a while, or at least the rest of this week. Look for temperatures in the mid to upper 80s this week, and keep that sweater with you though, because it's still going to get chilly with lows well below 60 once the sun goes down. Hundreds of people celebrated Dia de los Muertos at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. Many of those who gathered were there to honor their deceased loved ones by presenting altars and offerings.
Day of the Dead is basically like all the skulls. It's kind of like poking fun at death. We're more celebrating and honoring that we knew them and they lived and, you know, we were happy to know them. The idea is that the dead get to visit us one day a year, and that they have to travel very far and through various levels to get to us. So you're supposed to have water to hydrate them and food. And the food that's here also represents their favorite things. My brother-in-law, his grandparents own an orchard, so we have a lot of apples and oranges and things like that, things that they liked, favorite drinks and alcohol. And it's just to welcome them and refresh them and just hope they hang around and check out all the stuff that we've done for them.
The altar is a resemblance of my grandmother, and her name is Victoria Gomez. She was a beautiful, beautiful woman. Very stubborn in her own way. Today when we were setting up, it was very hard. We feel like she was here telling us how she wanted it. There's a picture that's there with a bike. She really did love bike riding before she got Alzheimer's. And then over there, there's a microphone. She was a singer, and she would sing with the mariachi band.
I made a diorama from a picture of my mother in the 70s. She's sitting with a glass of wine, which is so her, and her favorite flower are hydrangeas. They're all over the box. She passed away 3 years ago from lung cancer. I love her so much. I miss her so much. This is the best way that I have felt I can honor her memory. And it's a way that I've been able to experience a catharsis after her death.
And that sound portrait was produced by Vanessa Wilson.
Hey man, who's that cat coming down the street?
I don't know, but it sounds to me like that's whistling, man.
What's USC cruised to a 44-17 win at Washington State this weekend and moved to 5-3. Given that two of the Trojans' losses were decided as time expired, fans aren't quite sure what to think of Steve Sarkisian's first season at the helm. The Staples Center could possibly be home to the best and worst teams in basketball this season. The Clippers are a legitimate championship contender, while the Lakers are in such bad shape that some fans are hoping they can lose enough games to secure a top 5 draft pick next season. We've got Bill Plaschke from the Los Angeles Times on the line to help sort all this out for us. And Bill, a lot are going to view Sarkisian's first season based on how he does against Notre Dame and UCLA. Let's say, worst case scenario, he falls to both. What do you think the reaction will be?
I think he's still dealing with the lingering effects of probation. So I think he deserves a chance to figure it out. And I think if they lose these two games, I think people will be, it just depends on how they lose them, you know, and that's, it's all very hypothetical because they could win. The USC has shown flashes where they could beat both Notre Dame and UCLA or lose to both of them. And that's the thing about, I think their fans have their fans so flummoxed this year is that they can go either way. They just don't know what to expect from them. They've seen greatness and they've seen them just be awful and, you know, great for all but 1 minute of the game, and then Arizona State and Utah win in the last, you know, last 2 minutes, and it's just awful. So I just think they need to be competitive, and they need to be organized, and they need to not have penalties, dumb penalties, and they need to play some defense. And I think USC fans are very sophisticated, very smart after many, many, many years of watching them, and I think they will appreciate a good effort. And then, of course, it goes into the bowl game, and they need to have a decent bowl game as well. I think if they do all that, they're competitive, I think people will think they're headed in the right direction.
And it's safe to say the Lakers did not look too good in their home opener. Is there anything to look forward to for Lakers fans?
I don't see any hope for Lakers fans except hope that, you know, they can watch Kobe Bryant fight age and fight mortality and fight himself as he, you know, he's in the dawn of his, you know, the autumn of his career. That's kind of a neat thing to watch and an interesting battle to watch. But beyond that, no, they're not going to win many games. And Laker fans probably ought to hope that they stay competitive and then lose.
And on the other side of it, the Clippers are looking strong this year. Where do you think they're going to go? What are your expectations?
Well, I think the Clippers, I'd be more disappointed in the Clippers than I have the Lakers because they're supposed to look strong, but they've looked awful. I think they've looked just awful the first three games, barely beat, you know, Oklahoma City without Durant and Westbrook. Barely beat the Lakers, who have nothing, and lost to Sacramento at home. So I think the Clippers have been really disappointed so far. And I think they need to get – this is a conference, Western Conference Finals or bust year for them. I think they need to get that far or, you know, to make an impact, to make it feel like the new ownership has made a difference and to make their fans happy. Their fans are tired of always getting, you know, one round and done, two rounds and done. They need to get to that third round of the NBA playoffs. And they really, there's no excuse for them not to be. They should be the best team in the West. They should go to the NBA Finals.
And we've been talking with Bill Plaschke, columnist for the LA Times, about the Lakers, Clippers, and USC football. Bill, thanks for talking with us.
Sure, no problem, man.
And speaking of sports, here's ATVN's McKenna Keel with the latest sports news.
The World Series may be over, but today was a huge day in Major League Baseball. The Chicago Cubs introduced prize manager Joe Maddon. Terms of the contract have not yet been confirmed. And in the NFL, former USC quarterback Mark Sanchez will be the new Eagles starting quarterback after former starter Nick Foles suffered a broken collarbone. Current Eagles head coach and former Oregon coach Chip Kelly expressed his confidence in the former Trojan.
I've been very familiar with him for a long time, coached against him when I was at Oregon and saw what a great athlete he was at the quarterback spot, saw his arm. I've seen it, you know, I saw it in high school, I saw it in college, and I saw it in the NFL when we looked at films. So I had some familiarity with him. But just because I have familiarity with a guy doesn't mean let's just sign him because I know him. It's just he's a hell of a quarterback, and we're excited that we got him.
And on the hardwood, the Clippers look to bounce back from a loss to the Kings yesterday. Tip-off is tonight at 7:30 against the Jazz at Staples Center. Meanwhile, the Lakers are trying to figure out how they're going to turn things around after an 0-4 start. The Lakers host the Phoenix Suns tomorrow night at Staples. McKenna Keel, Annenberg Radio News.
She keeps them away, Chandler, in a pretty cabinet. Let them eat cake, she says, just like Marie Antoinette.
Public Radio lost a beloved member earlier today. Tom Magliozzi, half of NPR's popular Car Talk show, died of complications from Alzheimer's disease. He hosted the radio series for 35 years with his brother Ray, sharing car advice and his signature cackles in his distinct Boston accent. Here's a quick taste of Magliozzi talking to an astronaut at the space station.
Forerunner, 1987, and a Pontiac Grand Prix.
Yeah, but none of them has the, neither one of them has the acceleration of this thing, huh?
Nope, and also not the miles. The odometer in this thing reads about 60 million miles.
Boy, oh boy, I gotta say, you guys have got guts.
Magliozzi was 77 years old. The World Trade Center is open for business today, 13 years after the 9/11 terrorist attack. The skyscraper, known as the Freedom Tower, is the centerpiece of this area where the Twin Towers used to stand. The first employees who moved into the building this morning were from publishing company Condé Nast. The 104-story Freedom Tower is the tallest building in the Western Hemisphere. About 3,000 employees are expected to move in by early next year. One day before the midterm election, a new poll is out on California races and initiatives. Andy Bassoyan reports on results of a USC Dornsife LA Times poll.
The race for California's governor is not expected to be a very close one, according to a joint LA Times-USC poll released today. Californians are voting deeply blue in the gubernatorial campaign, with Republican Neil Kashkari facing a 19-point deficit against incumbent Jerry Brown. Drew Lieberman, vice president at Greenberg Quinlan Rosner Research, explains Brown's lead.
He's got a 60% job approval rating. His personal favorability is up at 57%. It makes him one of the most popular governors in the country, and it sort of sets the stage for an election that looks to be on track to largely be a status quo election.
Dan Schnur, director of the poll and executive director of the UNRRA Institute of Politics at USC, explains that the superintendent's office is the most important election on the ballot this year.
This battle has been brewing and growing for many years, and whichever side comes out on top this week is going to be in a position to set a tone for the debate in California.
Something of an oddball in the poll was the question of Ebola and whether concerns about the disease would impact California voting. UNRRA Institute fellow Mike Madrid explained that despite Ebola's high profile, the disease may not be of such importance to local voters.
You know, we felt obligated, I think, to at least take a look at it to see if that would be one of the things that was driving the electorate. I think it's pretty safe to say that no, it's not. It's just not registering on people's radar.
All the polling and predicting comes to a head tomorrow night, when voting closes on this expensive and oft-ignored election cycle. Andy Vasoyan, Annenberg Radio News.
Things are getting worse for a Northern California CHP officer who resigned last week after it was revealed he sent nude pictures from a suspect's cell to himself and friends. Sean Harrington of Martinez is charged with taking pictures from suspects who were in custody for drunk driving. Harrington faces two counts of unauthorized access to a computer and copying of data. Remember to keep clicking on our website, annenbergradio.org, for more news about South Los Angeles and to follow us on Twitter at Annenberg Radio. And now we're going to check in with Brad Stryker to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
All right, thank you so much. Tonight we have Ani Ukar who brings us her A report. She's talking about how the California drought will be affecting the sport of golf in our state. And also we're going to have an inside look at USC student voters. We found some pretty shocking results and we're here to provide answers to the students who have questions.
And now I'm not a California resident technically, but if I were inclined to go vote, do you have any suggestions? Where do you go to vote around here?
Yeah, that'll definitely be some information that our reporter brings on into the broadcast. I hear that there are some certain places on campus specifically that they can go to, that they can check out. But really, we're going to kind of focus on bringing more information to the viewers tonight.
All right, Brad, thanks for stopping by. And remember to check out Annenberg TV News tonight at 6 o'clock on Trojan Vision. Have you been smoking lately? AirGuard knows. This new smoke sensor can detect if you've been smoking tobacco or marijuana. Researchers at Dartmouth College in Hanover created AirGuard, a sensor that is so sensitive it can detect molecules of tobacco and marijuana smoke. It can even detect particles of smoke on clothing. Currently, there is no release date for this new device. And that's it for this Monday. We had help today from Gabriel Cortez, Karina Halajian, Kevin Mallory, Kylie Morgan, and Alana Victor. Our board operator is Derek Renfro. Sean Birch is the newscast producer, and the executive producer is Andy Vasoyan. Don't forget to vote tomorrow. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Charlie McGovern.